Welcome to the Unity Presbyterian Church podcast. This week, Pastor David kicks off our stewardship season with a biblical look at giving and how we are stronger because of our shared vision. Let's listen.
Well, so in high school, I worked part-time for a veterinarian's hospital just kind of during the week, and it was nothing flashy or exciting. You know, I was the one who would clean the cages, and I was the one who would walk the dogs. But I liked being around animals, and so it was a fun job for me. Well, I came once on a Sunday, and Sundays the whole office was closed, and so I was alone there in the office. And on this particular Sunday, I walked in, and there were so many more dogs than usual. And so I thought to myself, wow, my shift is going to be really long today. Well, I started taking them out one by one, walking them, letting them do their business, taking them back in, all of that. And then it hit me, and I had a really good idea. Or I should say, I had a really good high school boy idea. I was like, why am I taking these dogs one by one? I can take them more and then get done a lot faster. And I looked around, I found five leashes. I said, I can take five dogs and get done five times as fast. This is a great idea. And so I leashed them all up. I got a variety of sizes, thinking that might help somehow. I opened the door, and immediately, and I mean immediately, when this door opened, those five dogs went in five different directions. And so all I could do was just stand there, try not to get pulled over, and hold these leashes as they're going five different directions. I knew at that point it was really a bad idea, but I didn't know how to get out of it. And so I'm standing there kind of yanking on these dogs, going, what do I do now? And then all the dogs started heading in the same direction. Now, if you have a pet, if you have a dog, you're probably wondering, well, how does that happen? I mean, how does all the dogs at once, all five, head in the same direction? And it's simple, really. They saw a squirrel. And so off they went, and at that point, I lost my footing, and I'm being dragged by five dogs off to go catch a squirrel. Well, eventually, I wrangled them back in and got them into the veterinarian's hospital again, but oh my goodness, I learned that that was not a good idea. But what I want you to do is keep those two images in your head. The first image of five dogs going in five different directions. Okay, think about what that might look like. And then the next image of five dogs all heading in the same direction with the same sort of passion and focus of going to catch this squirrel and what that might look like. I want you thinking about these things today because this is the first Sunday in our stewardship campaign. And I know not everyone likes to talk about money or about giving, and I totally understand that. But I personally really like this Sunday. Every year when it comes around, I like Stewardship Sunday, and I will tell you why. The stewardship campaign reminds us of what we can do together as a community to go and impact the world. And that's what gets me really excited. And in fact, that's why I call today Vision Sunday, because we're going to have a chance towards the end of this service to pray, to discern, and to say, well, God, where are you leading us? As a congregation, what is your vision for us? And a really amazing vision, a vision that people buy into, in my mind, looks like five dogs heading in one direction. It's almost unstoppable. And so towards the end of today, you're going to get a chance to simply pause and ask that question, God, what do you have in store for us in 2019? So we'll get to that in a little bit. But I personally believe that everything we do has to be firmly rooted in Scripture. And so if we're going to talk about vision, if we're going to talk about giving, then we really need to study what the Bible says about it. And so we're going to look at a fascinating passage that Paul wrote to a church in Corinth, the Corinthian church. I'll give you a little bit of a background. So Paul was traveling around on missionary journeys starting churches. And he got to this church in Corinth, and he helped start the church. And then he told them about another church in Jerusalem. Now, this church in Jerusalem was struggling. They were a poor church, and they really struggled to put food on the table and to provide for their families. And so Paul is telling the church in Corinth about Jerusalem and saying, we need to raise some money. We need to get together, raise some money, and I will go bring it to support our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. Well, the church in Corinth got really excited. They said, yeah, okay, Paul, we're in, absolutely. And then Paul said, okay, well, not yet, because I'm in the middle of a missionary journey. And Paul said, I still need to go start a church in Macedonia, but yes, eventually when I come back, I'll take the funds and then bring them back to Jerusalem. So Paul does that. Then he goes on to Macedonia, and he goes and starts a church there. And he tells that church the same thing. He says, listen, church, there's a church in Jerusalem that's struggling. They need your help. Will you give? And then he says, and also, there's a church in Corinth, and they're really passionate. They're really excited. They really want to give. And the church in Macedonia said, oh, well, we're all in. We want to get in on this. We want to match and maybe exceed what the church in Corinth is giving. Well, so Paul is really excited by that, but then Paul runs into a little bit of a problem because he's gone for a year in Macedonia. And so it hits him, well, what if after a year the church in Corinth is not as excited or passionate about giving anymore? That would be very embarrassing if I've, like, talked them up to the church in Macedonia, and then all of a sudden they're going, oh, no, it's been a year, we don't really want to give anymore. And so Paul's solution is to go and send some representatives to Corinth with this letter to kind of check in on them and say, are you still good? You still going to give to this project in Jerusalem? So that's how our letter begins today, with Paul checking in on the church in Corinth. You will see it on the screen as we read it together. Paul says this, I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem. That's the poor church in Jerusalem. For I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering over a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. But I am sending these brothers to be sure you are really ready, as I have been telling them, and that your money is all collected. I don't want to be wrong in my boasting about you. We would be embarrassed, not to mention your own embarrassment, if some Macedonian believers came with me and found out that you weren't ready after all that I had told them. So I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. All right, so that's what Paul does. He sends these representatives, and he brings this letter with them, and he's checking in to make sure the passion and the desire to give is still there. Because what he doesn't want to happen is for this church to feel coerced into giving or pressured into giving. That is what Paul wants to avoid here. So that is the background on Paul speaking to this specific church in Corinth. But now what Paul does is he begins to talk generally about giving. And that's when we should really pay attention, because these are words not just for the church in Corinth, these are words for us, because now Paul is just talking about a theology of why we give and how we give. So now pay attention to these next couple verses, because they're for us as well. The next verse says this, the point is this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap sparingly. Bountifully. Well, Paul is using an agricultural metaphor that is still very common today. We still use it today, don't we? You reap what you sow. That's exactly what Paul was saying 2,000 years ago. If you want a large, bountiful harvest, then you need to sow a large, bountiful amount of seeds. It would be silly to expect a big harvest but sow a small amount of seeds. No, Paul is saying you reap what you sow. And in fact, we can summarize it this way. We'll get this on the screen. It's whether your harvest is bountiful or sparing depends on how much you sow. Well, so I learned that recently because I'm living my first year in North Carolina. And I moved up here, and one of the first things I realized was how beautiful your grass is. I mean, your front lawns actually look really, really good. Now, coming from Florida, that wasn't always the case. I mean, you dig down into the dirt in Florida, and you get to sand really, really quickly. And so the grass, you just let the grass do what it's going to do. You don't really do much with it. But I moved up here, and I started asking people, how do I make sure that my yard looks this good, like, year-round? How do I keep it like this? And every person I asked said, okay, when fall comes, you need to reseed or overseed your lawn. I said, that sounds great. And then fall came, and I said, I have no idea what I'm doing. And so I asked a church family and said, oh, yeah, we can help you. And so we aerated everything, and then it came time to putting out seed. And I, doing what Paul is kind of talking about here, sowed bountifully. Like, I wanted to put out so many seeds to make sure that the lawn then really came in nice and thick. And so I was going over sections time and time again, making sure there was seed just everywhere. I mean, I remember going to Lowe's, and I had 4 big bags of seeds. And the checkout lady looked at me, and she said, make sure you keep your receipt. You're not... She did, word for word. She goes, you're not going to need all this. But I didn't know. This is my first time doing it. So I said, okay, yeah. And I returned it 2 out of 4, so she was right. But that's what Paul's talking about here. We want to sow bountifully if you want big results to come back in. We all understand this on an agricultural level. What's fascinating, though, and what's worth some reflection, is that Paul uses this as a metaphor for giving. Isn't that interesting? Where Paul's talking about giving, and he's talking about this Corinthian church giving to a poor church in Jerusalem, and he's saying, you reap what you sow. Well, he goes on to expand on this idea, in this next verse, when Paul says this, you must each decide in your own heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Well, so for Paul is saying there is a right and a wrong way to give. And for Paul, it would be wrong to give reluctantly. It would be wrong to give if you feel pressured or coerced to give in any way. He's telling this church who's giving to the church in Jerusalem. He's going, only give if you want to give. You know, Paul is really asking us to think differently about giving. I think what Paul would say is give because it gives you joy to give. Give when giving puts a smile on your face. Give joyfully. I wonder, when is the last time that it was really fun for you to give to something? And what was that mission or organization or group that you gave to when you just had fun doing it? I know as I am reflecting on this, for me personally, I get a lot of joy when I give to something where I can see the impact that my gift is making on the world. That's what really gets me excited. That's what gets me fired up about giving. I mean, I really want to be a part of spreading this gospel message of love and peace with the world. I love when I can play a small part in that. I really want to work and fight poverty in this world and work on building bridges in our community. When I give to things like that, that gets me excited. And that's what Paul is telling this church in the first century. Give when you're excited about it. When it puts a smile on your face, when you're passionate about what you're doing, that's when it's time to give. We see this theme throughout Scripture. There's this fascinating passage in Luke that we're going to read in just a second. Have you ever wondered, how did Jesus support himself? I mean, Jesus and his 12 disciples traveled around. They were fishermen, but what were they doing the majority of their time? They were going and preaching. They weren't really taking in much of an income. And yet here we get a glimpse of maybe how they sustained themselves in Luke chapter 8. It says this, soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he'd cast out 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others who were, check out this part, contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. See, these women were excited about what Jesus was doing. They were inspired about what Jesus was doing, and so they were supporting Jesus' ministry to allow him and the 12 disciples to go and preach and share this message of good news. I mean, I think what inspired them is probably what you read in that first verse there, when it says Jesus is going town to town preaching about the good news of the kingdom of God. This group of women were deeply inspired by that. And so they gave to go and support that good ministry that was going on. And what's true back then is just as true today. We give to what we're excited about. Or another way we can put that, we'll get this on the screen, is we give because it is exciting to partner with God to make a difference in the world. That truly is what Paul is trying to teach this early church, and what he's trying to teach us as well several thousand years later. Now we get to the final verse of at least what we're going to study today, and it's going to be our theme verse for this stewardship campaign because it really gets to the heart of what Paul is trying to teach us about giving. It says this, "And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work." What a beautiful verse is that. I mean, there really are two main themes that come out of that verse. And the first is that everything we have is a gift from God. I mean, God shares with us abundantly. That means everything we have is a gift from God. Sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, but I fall into this mindset of, well, I earned this, or I worked hard for this. And we should all work hard, but the Bible offers us a different lens in which to view ourselves, where we look at our lives as just one giant gift from God, and what a blessing that is. And so if you have that mindset, that perspective of the world, then the end of this verse becomes almost a charge for us. If everything in our life is a blessing, well then, we can share abundantly in the work of God. That's how Paul ends that verse. We are given blessings abundantly, and so we share abundantly. The great part about being a church is that we realize we can do so much together as a community than we ever could as individuals. I mean, we truly are part of something special that God is creating here at Unity. And so I want you to hear one thing today. If you don't hear anything else, if you forget everything else, I want you to hear one central takeaway from this message on giving. And it's thank you. Truly, thank you. Thank you for all the time and the resources that you have invested into Unity Presbyterian Church. Thank you for the hours that you've invested in creating something good in the world. Thank you for contributing to our youth and children's programs so that they can create these children a foundation of faith on which to build their lives upon. Thank you for volunteering each week in order to create this atmosphere of worship that is just so welcoming, from our ushers and greeters to our sound booth in the back to our wonderful choir and musicians to all of you who come and raise your voices in one united shout of praise to God. Thank you for that. Thank you for your skills of cooking and hospitality, which you freely give so that we can have these sort of fellowship opportunities where we can gather and be the body of Christ. I mean, I think of the Fall Festival tonight, and I don't know if you know this, but people have been here cooking since midnight to get ready for this wonderful occasion. Thank you for serving our community and our world through the exciting mission opportunities that countless people have been affected by, sharing the love and hope of God. Thank you for being a part of Unity. This is a vibrant and healthy church. Well, I've got a question for you, based off of all that, is do you think we have reached the ceiling of what is possible for what this church can do? Have we exhausted all of our creativity and energy? My guess is that you have all said no to that question, and if that's true for you, then you recognize that God continues to call us, that God continues to look towards the future to say, what can Unity do in this area? And so I, in light of this being Vision Sunday, want us to take a moment right now and just pause and ask this question, God, what are you calling this congregation to in the next 12 months? What do you have in store for us in this next year? And you are the central part of that. You are the congregation, the body of Christ. And so I'd like your help here. In your bulletin, you'll find this, a celebrate and dream form. Will you please take that out for a moment? There should be a pen in the pew in front of you. And I'm going to have you fill this out during the next song. When the choir sings, there's going to be a slideshow playing on the screen. And as the slideshow, of this last year, showing you the highlights of what God has accomplished through this community. And so as the song plays and as the slideshow plays, I'd like you to fill out this celebrate and dream card. The celebrate section is quite simple. Reflect on this past year and ask the question, what do I have to celebrate? You know, what through the work of Unity, through the many ministries and outreach programs that you're a part of, as you reflect on all of that, what gets you excited? What makes you want to celebrate the work of this church? Write down a couple things there, and then we don't just reflect and celebrate, but we dream. And so as you look towards this next year, as you look to 2019, what dreams do you have for this church? What dreams do you have of how God might use this community in our area of Denver? I want you to write a couple of those down as well. You don't have to put your name. No one needs to know who turned these in. But what I want you to do is fill this out, and then the orange box, as you leave worship today, just go ahead and put it in that orange box. And the pastoral staff will then compile all of these and then share with you the many celebrations and dreams that this congregation has for 2019. As a part of that, to echo Rick, we also ask that you, sometime during this campaign, turn in an estimated giving sheet so we can work to turning those dreams into reality of what God is doing within our congregation. So thank you for being a part of Unity, and together, let us celebrate and dream. Amen.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.